Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Attention BetMGM customers. Have a friend who loves sports as much as you do? Here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your BetMGM account and click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, they'll receive a $50 bonus. And once your friend places a bet with their bonus and the wager is settled, you'll receive a $50 bonus as well. Share the excitement and get a $50 bonus every time you refer a friend to BetMGM. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Ohio only. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 30 days. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Winning comes in all shapes and sizes. Every day there's an opportunity for a win, just like scratchers from the Virginia Lottery. Every day grab and go, every day giftable, every day fun. It's where anticipation meets instant gratification, and they're satisfying to scratch no matter the outcome. Like the new Virginia Lottery Scratcher Colossal Cash. It's loaded with $100 to $500 prizes. Now, that's an everyday win. Drive to the nearest Virginia Lottery retail location and pick up a scratcher today. Odds of winning any prize, 1 in 3.21.
Introducing the Lowe's List for Innovation. While our aisles are filled with innovative products, we've selected our favorites just for you. Like the exclusive Whirlpool washer with industry-first 2-in-1 removable agitator. We love this washer because you can customize any load. And with other smart features to streamline your laundry routine, this product is a must-have for families. Shop the full Lowe's List of top picks at Lowe's.com. Lowe's, home to any budget, home to any possibility. U.S. only.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick talking today with Gabe Ferguson, and we're right in the middle of draft season today, looking at the cornerbacks. Gabe, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, Ken. Thanks for having me on the show again.
Always a pleasure. You're one of our favorite guests. You know that. Let's and also on the Ravens Situation Room. So we're going to talk about that at Gabe Fergie on Twitter, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, we actually just recorded a pre-draft podcast yesterday. We're looking at the offensive side of the ball, some of the positions of need, kind of taking a look at the roster and the number of players that might actually make it onto the roster, because there's not a whole lot of roster room, I don't think.
It is a big a constraint in their entire system is how many total roster spots they have. Jordan made that point when he was on for the running back show, and I completely agree. There are positions where the Ravens have some spots on the 53, outside linebacker being a key one that they'll find space for. But a lot of other positions, offensive line, it's harder to fit that guy on because you have to kick somebody off. Cornerback is another good one. We're going to talk about that tonight. But let's start with the Ravens' situation at cornerback, because we look at this as a very deep cornerback group. They signed Jimmy Smith for an extra year. They still have Marcus Peters. They still have Marlon Humphrey. Anthony Averett is coming into year four now. It's a very good long set of corners, and yet the Ravens have found a way to find the bottom of their depth chart each of the last few years.
Yeah, for some reason, the Ravens just always seem to get struck at the cornerback position with the injury bug. And I mean, thinking back to 2014, for instance, that was a really good Ravens team, and they were looking at practice squad players that they were starting. And, you know, I think they've definitely tried to address that more recently with just keeping on drafting corners over and over again. Even, you know, we saw Marlon Humphrey get drafted when I don't think a lot of people thought it was a need. But, you know, that was a great find. And I don't know if this is a class where you would take someone in the first round, but, you know, we've been surprised by where the Ravens go in the draft before, and it might not be something that's completely outside of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, I mean, I think I can think of two corners in particular. If they drop to the Ravens at 27, there's no way they don't take them with the first pick. And I'm honestly of the opinion that given the Ravens roster composition, I don't think Marcus Peters will be with the Ravens for too much longer. He certainly is going to be here for this year. Next year, we don't know. You know, maybe their restructuring's done and whatnot. Anthony Averett may be gone after this year because he's coming into his fourth season. He's a guy I think makes a lot of sense to re-sign for a smaller, longer team deal right now. You know, 3 years, $6 million. If he'd go for that, something guarantees his financial future, but also puts the Ravens in a good spot for a couple more years. I think they have players that would fall into that category. Humphrey's not going anywhere, so we're comfortable with that. Jimmy Smith's near the end of the line. Long corner looks like a really big need on this Ravens team to me. It looks like this is the year to address it, not to wait till it's actually a problem that's a hole.
Yeah, because, and you mentioned it, I don't know if you mentioned Tavon Young either, but
no.
You know, he hasn't really been able to stay on the field when the Ravens have wanted him to be on the field. And I think his contract is, if it's not up after this year, it's up after the next one. So he's definitely at the end of his contract as well.
Right. So he's actually really playing for 2022 and 2021 because he took a reduced salary this year, but his salary for next year wasn't affected on the contract. But it being the last year of his contract, he'll almost certainly be cut if he doesn't have a comeback year this year. So he's playing for that. And, you know, I think most people would agree the slot is the place where the Ravens need another guy they can actually really rely on more than outside. But that's a 2021 only view. It's not a long-term view, in my opinion. I think they pretty much need another young cornerback period of some quality out of this draft.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And like you said, a couple of players who are going to be free agents, you know, a couple of players who haven't really shown that they might not stick around. Like, I mean, I'm thinking about Iman Marshall, mm-hmm. and he hasn't been on the field either. He's been hurt. So like, mm-hmm. maybe you have someone who could be a good player there, but you don't know. And I think he's probably a fringe roster guy at this point. Just yes. Because you don't know if he's going to be able to contribute or not.
Yeah, I would agree entirely. I think his spot's actually at risk. Okay, so how we've been doing this with the other shows is going through with a top 10 list. I know you didn't do it exactly that way, but maybe you can start that way at the beginning and we can kind of go down. So you're the guest. We'll start with your number one guy. If I have a different guy, I'll respond with that.
So I think the number one guy for me has to be Patrick Surtain. you know, he comes from Alabama. They know how to teach their defensive backs. Obviously, Marlon Humphrey was a Bama cornerback. He's been great for the Ravens. You know, he has the size. He has the athleticism. He has kind of the ability to play in a man or in a zone. He has a lot of flexibility with him. He might not have like the elite top end speed or the elite length and size you want at a cornerback, but he's just underneath those kind of benchmarks. And I think all around, he's, you know, he's a, to me, a top 10 player in this class.
Everything is so right about Patrick Surtain that I didn't want to really pick on anything. I think the speed concerns are frankly overblown, especially when you watch him on tape. There's just nothing wrong with the guy in terms of the actual results. He has a very low target percentage. You know, if you look at the top NFL-ready corners, if you're targeted 12% of the time, that's a lot. If you're in the draft, expecting to be drafted, and you played anywhere, and you were drafted 12% of the time, that's a lot. Now, the SEC's a great conference, lots of passing. Everybody's got good receivers. Everybody's got good cornerbacks at multiple positions. So a player like him is going to be targeted more, but he still had a very low target percentage this year, and I didn't actually record it here. He's had good passer ratings for 3 years. He's played a ton at Alabama. Nothing left to prove at the college level. He's an obvious day one starter to me. You know, the other thing that I'll say about him is he really has to have a great work ethic to maintain that quality of play for multiple years at such a high level. And there are a couple cornerbacks in this class, and they're in the high rounds, who I think displayed that same trait. But he's my number one guy as well, and I expect him to be gone in the top 12 picks. If he were to last until 27, the Ravens won't hesitate. They'd take him in a heartbeat. They wouldn't mess around.
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. Anytime someone who's that talented falls, you know, to a place where you shouldn't be, you can't pass on that. And, you know, I don't think there's any chance that would happen outside of some catastrophic injury or information that comes out right before the draft. But even then, it's hard to pass on a talent like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, he's my number one guy also, so let's move on to your number two guy.
So the number two guy I have would probably be the consensus number two, I think, in J.C. Horn out of South Carolina. He's a little bit more of that prototypical size speed combination. He kind of reminded me a little bit of Patrick Patterson coming out of college, just like that size and speed, the ability to play press man, to really be sticky at the line of scrimmage. I think that is his skill set, though. You want him in press coverage. I don't know if he is going to be as good if you're asking him to play in kind of a zone coverage scheme.
Yeah, he's certainly a pure outside guy at 6'1", 205. I saw all of that in terms of the press coverage, but he has the whole Jimmy Smith kind of package, or, you know, package that we liked out of Ike Taylor in the past, is that he tries to disrupt the route, even though he really has some of that makeup speed that you could have. So he's up there, he tries to disrupt the route, he tries to use the boundary as the extra defender. He's very good at both, and yet he still has makeup speed. So it's a wonderful package of assets. There's not a lot of differentiation between him and Patrick Surtain, and I would say that either one of them at 27 I would love to get, and they'll both be on in the first 12.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're both like in that top 10, top 12 range in this class, and I think teams covet the cornerback position too much to let them slide much further down the draft board.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we have the same number two guy. Go to number three.
This might be pretty boring. So for me, it's going to be, these two are close, but I'm going to go with Greg Newsom, out of Northwestern. And I really, really like watching him play. I think he's got that unique ability just to sit like in a wide receiver's like hip pocket, and he's very sticky in coverage. He's got speed. He's got the ball skills. He hasn't had that many interceptions, but he breaks up a lot of passes. So he has a great ability to break on the ball, which you really like to see from a cornerback.
Yeah, he has elements of his game that remind me of Marcus Peters, not in terms of the baiting the quarterback component yet, which Peters is really special at, but he kind of has a good gambling sense, definitely breaks on the football from off coverage a lot. You know, at his size, at 6'0", 192, he's not too small to play press man, but he's probably going to play a little bigger when he's in the NFL. He's at a speed level where he still can put on some weight. This doesn't really bother me because, hey, you know, he's playing where he's playing and at Northwestern, and he was but he's targeted 15.2% as a junior. That would be bad, except that the passer rating against him was 31.7 for the year. So I'm all of a sudden very unconcerned about it. Lots of year-by-year improvement. In fact, the passer ratings went from 149 to 87 to 31.7 in his 3 years there at Northwestern. That's something I really like to see. And he's a guy that I look at as being an obvious work ethic guy who improved that much over that period. So he may be a guy who's a lifer. And if you want that break on the ball and learn the ball skills and improve his game in multiple ways, he could become that Marcus Peters type who outplays declining speed as he moves along in his NFL career.
Yeah, and I think with Newsom, one of the concerns has been his durability. He's been nicked up throughout his collegiate career. I don't know if he's played a full slate of games, but you know the skills are pretty apparent there, and he's someone who I think will definitely also be a first-round pick. He might be around when the Ravens pick, though. There's an opportunity that he's someone who's there at 27, and I'm not sure if he's the level of talent that you're looking at for the Ravens, if that's something that you really want. But depending on what the other options are on the board, depending on your trading options, I think it's something to consider.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not a pick that would upset me in any way if the Ravens took him. It's a pick that a lot of people would think is opposite need. It would upset me if they pick a second round center in the first round. That would upset me. Picking a first round cornerback at 27, that doesn't upset me at all.
Yeah.
So, okay. You're 3 for 3 so far, so go on with your fourth.
So I think we're probably going to be 4 for 4, but maybe not. For me, it's Caleb Farley.
Yep.
Out of Virginia Tech. You know, he's another one of these kind of prototypical, like, size, speed. He's got all the length. He's got the coverage skills. Really good athleticism. You know, he opted out of the 2020 season, which, you know, there's a chance that, you know, NFL team scouts will hold that against him. I'm not sure how that's going to work in, you know, in the draft room, war rooms, how that's stacked up. But, you know, in the season that he was playing, he really was impressive. He did turn a lot of pass breakups into interceptions. I think he has really good ball skills. I think he has the whole package. He has an injury that he had in the season he wasn't playing. I think back injury. So the medical is going to have to be something that checked out for him. But, you know, if that looks good, I mean, going into this process, I think he was widely considered the number one back prospect. And he kind of slid down a little bit because he took the year off because of the injury. But that's the kind of talent you're potentially getting.
Right. It's a lot to unpack there in what you said, because some great stuff here. But one thing I'd point out is the number of teams that say a 2020 opt-out is not on my board or has dropped two rounds on my board or whatever, the Ravens will be licking their chops with every team that says something like that, because it's too constraining. It's too formulaic. They're going to be able to discern who were the players. And I really hope that there's a lot of teams that are looking at opt-outs and saying, well, we just can't really consider that a guy anymore because we didn't even see him play. The medical is a more serious concern because that was a January injury, as I understand it, with the back, and it kept him from his pro day workout. And it's the kind of thing that you do have questions about. So it may be that they want to talk to him, that they want to work him out, that they want to do other things before they draft him. And if Caleb Farley says basically he doesn't want to, you know, work out four teams or do anything more than he did at his pro day before the draft, then it may mean that he does, his stock does drop away. But he's the number four guy for me. I don't think you can go wrong with him except for the medical. You look back to 2019, 4 interceptions on 50 targets and a 27 passer rating against. That's just absurdly good. Talk about him moving to safety down the line. It's not out of the question at his size, but I also think a lot of those kind of projections are probably premature at this point. He's got all the speed necessary to play outside. He doesn't have a problem with that unless there's an issue with the back. And if there was an issue with the back, it'd keep him from safety too.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's the biggest question with him. I think he also had an ACL tear early in his collegiate career. So he has that on his medical as well. So there's definitely going to be teams having to do their due diligence on that side of things. But from a talent perspective. And if he's being pushed down the draft board to the late first round, that's someone that would be difficult to pass on.
Right. I would agree. I think it would upset me more if they took him instead of Newsom at 27. Both are available. I'll take Newsom, no doubt about it, given the lack of questions. If they were at 27, I'd really want them to try and trade down to get Farley. Even though I think he's a number one talent, I'd like to get them, you know, get him around number 40, because I think other teams might have the same kind of disconcerting feeling about, you know, what's going on with him medically. So anyway, certainly a terrific talent, great developmental player. And the Ravens, by the way, as a team that does not need this player to play cornerback immediately, would be a perfect place for him to land. Think about these guys who have a little bit of a question all the way down the cornerback list. The Ravens are a great place to play because they don't absolutely need the guy in 2021.
Yeah, that's definitely true. You can, you know, get back into the swing of things, into football shape. Obviously, we've talked about injuries before, so there's probably a chance that he's going to play a significant role, even if, you know, it's not someone, even if somebody like Anthony Averett that went down. You know, the Ravens play so much dime package, and then they play a lot of four cornerbacks at a time.
Yeah.
And he's someone who could come in and be a really impactful player in that kind of package. And you have such a strong and deep secondary that it would be a real strength that you're adding strength to. And I think that's how you can really build a defense that can completely take away some of the, you know, passing attacks we've seen become predominant in the NFL.
Yeah, it's critical mass theory. So I don't disagree with it. And the four corner dime is something, you know, I don't talk about it all the time because I love the three safety dime as well. But the teams that play 10 personnel force you into a four corner dime, and the Ravens have more and more of those they may face. We may see it from Cincinnati this year. We've always seen it from Pittsburgh, you know, have seen it in recent years from Pittsburgh. That's two awfully important games for which you really need to have four healthy cornerbacks you can count on, and really a couple guys who can play in the slot, because a lot of it's dependent on that. There's more teams like Kansas City that they don't necessarily, you know, show you four corners, but it's Kelce, three wide receivers and a running back. And you may as well think about playing a four corner dime with one of your guys being a big corner. So, there's a lot of teams where that comes up. It's not just the Arizona Cardinals anymore who kind of force you into that defense. OK, yeah. We're 4 for 4 so far. Who's number 5 on your list?
So I don't know if we'll go 5 for 5 here, but we might. For me, it's Elijah Molden. He's really the slot cornerback from the Washington Huskies. And it's interesting when you have someone in the college level plays mostly slot, because a lot of times you'll have some outside cornerback in college. And then because of size limitations, they come in and transition to be a slot cornerback in the NFL. Molden played most of his snaps slot in college.
Right.
And I think he played really well there. And he does the different jobs of the slot position well. You know, he can play in coverage, and he does a good job, I think, of covering the slot receiver. But he's also very willing and eager to fill in the run game. I think he's a good tackler. He's very aggressive. Can get tackles for loss. He's got good hands. He can, you know, he had some interceptions in his time as well. I think there's a lot to like from him, and it would be a natural transition directly into that role in the NFL for him.
Now, there are things to like about Eric Molden, and I'm going to seem more polar in this description of him than I think I really feel, but I left him off my top 10 entirely. Now, he had problems that I just couldn't overcome, and it starts with the 4.62 40. That's a level many linebackers are above. Like Chris Board, I'm sure, is better than a 4.62 40. Patrick Queen is much better than a 4.62 40. You know, he's got slot skills that I think are polished at a high level from playing there a lot in his time at Washington. But he's not a special athlete for the position. And I'm afraid that that's really going to hurt him in the NFL. I think that he'll be targeted by NFL defensive coordinators. His target share is extremely low. Last year at 7.7%. And so he only allowed a handful of yards per game. It was about 16 yards per game. He only played 4 games this last year. But obviously other teams are respecting those highly polished skills. It's just the NFL is a different level, and he's going to be I think, overmatched by a lot of the speed and a lot of the size at the next level. And while I would love to take a flyer on him, if it's in the third or fourth round, maybe probably the fourth round, he's not a guy that I would take in the second round.
I can understand where you're coming from. And the speed thing is real. That's a real concern. And I think you kind of see it at times on the tape. He doesn't have, you know, that real recovery speed to follow someone on like on verticals. He's definitely more of kind of your underneath player. I think does really good things in the short area. Mm-hmm. But you don't want him covering somebody downfield, I don't think. The one thing I do consider as a possibility with him would be a transition safety. I think he has some of the skills where he could be really good, maybe even as like a Tyrann Mathieu kind of player. He doesn't quite have that playmaking, that level, but I think there's some of that in his game. So I think there could be potential as kind of like a nickel safety / cornerback you could put in the slot, you could drop cover.
And, or you can disguise your coverages and moving around. Yeah.
So I kind of see that for him, but I'm not sure if that alone covers up for some of his deficiencies.
Yeah. That would be an interesting way to use him. I honestly believe he's probably too small to be a safety. The years of having Bob Sanders back there, and Bob Sanders was probably a little shorter and a little heavier than Eric Molden. You know, it just, those days are gone. And Bob Sanders, when he played, got the crap beaten out of him. He couldn't stay on the field, even though he was great. You know, just from getting beat up. So I think Molden has to pretty much stay in the slot. It doesn't mean he couldn't be a very smart player there. And I may not be giving him the amount of credit for reading leverage off the line of scrimmage. So maybe he can really help you sort out bunch formations off the line of scrimmage, so he's not the guy who ends up getting beat. Those are all positive qualities. And I could see, you know, you have him in there and, you know, he's maybe a guy you can rush the passer a little bit too, or he's a, you know, not afraid to tackle, all of those elements. Maybe that's a positive you can take from it, but I'm really concerned specifically about the coverage skills in his case, because he just has not been tested by the kind of size and speed he's going to face.
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
All right. So I didn't have the same number five guy, so I'll go with my number five guy is Eric Stokes of Georgia, 6'0", 194, 434, 40. A lot of people say he doesn't play quite that fast. But he allowed 16 yards per game in the SEC, a 44 passer rating this last year. He's a disrupting press corner, so he really tries to disrupt routes. There's an element of gambler in him as a press guy that is different. Not a gambler as a coverage guy. So he doesn't break on the football like Peters does, but he's more of a gambling press guy. Loves a lot of that. The rules in the NFL are different in terms of when you're allowed to bump a receiver. That's been cited as a problem by some for him. The change of direction metrics that he has are kind of meh. I don't really notice a problem on tape, but you wouldn't notice it as much with an outside corner necessarily as you do with a slot corner, where there's whip route after whip route being run against the guy. I think he'll learn to play more with his speed and less with his physicality at the next level. And I think you're kind of making a bet that your coaches can get him to figure out the tells that a quarterback has and a receiver has, and not just to gamble physically play after play after play.
Yeah, I think what you said there at the end resonates with me, because to me, he looked like someone who was very physically gifted, but was sometimes, like, footwork wasn't there, like the fluid, like kind of hip transition when going and dropping off in coverage. I didn't watch a lot of him because I didn't really see him as someone that was a great fit for what the Ravens do. But I mean, he has some physicality. Like, I like the ability to kind of press. I think that's important, especially for anybody the Ravens are going to be drafting at the cornerback position, because that's something that they obviously do, not all the time, but something that their corners to be able to do. And I think Stokes can definitely fill that role, and he has the blazing speed. Like, that is, I think that, I mean, maybe he doesn't look like he's a 4.3 guy on film, but he's definitely fast. And I think that's important for the cornerback, clearly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, one of the points I think we could agree on is that everybody after those top four guys, it's a big pile of they got some sort of limitation. And Stokes is certainly not without his limitations in terms of the way he plays, kind of being different from how he's built, which is a little odd. I just found of all the guys I had lower on my list here, I thought his problems were probably the most correctable. And we'll talk through the rest of them now as we go through. But who's your number six guy?
So I think the guy I would have next would be Asante Samuel Jr., who reminds me a lot of his father, just in their play style. They kind of look the same on the field, same kind of build, kind of like a wiry, smaller size. I think he's 5'10". I think he's probably better suited as well in zone kind of scheme than he is in press man. But he has speed. He's definitely physical. He's willing to like come up and lay the lumber, so to speak. I think he's in a solid player. I had like a second round grade on him, so I think he's someone that you could potentially take. He's there for the Ravens drafting in the second round. I think he can play in the slot. He has some of the quickness and the ability to like stick with receivers there. I just wasn't sure if he's someone who can really be consistent and man coverage on the outside, and that's something that I would probably prefer in a cornerback I was drafting early. Unless it was someone like Bolden.
That you'd want to know that they could do both.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, I kind of made an exception for Molden because I thought he was so good in what he was doing in the slot. And that's something that the Ravens really need. But maybe that's looking too narrowly and what team needs are and not necessarily the overall value of the.
Right. I would definitely prefer Samuel in the slot over Molden. And he is, in fact, the next guy on my list as well. He's a little undersized to play on the outside. And now I think the 53rd percentile is where the 6-foot corner starts in the NFL right now. And it might be that changes every year. The corners get taller and taller. Yeah. And, there just aren't very many 5'8", 5'9 guys. So when the Steelers were drafting a bunch of 5'7", and 5'8", and 5'9 guys, their own fans were looking at it and saying, what the hell? And except for some of them who are making excuses because they're Steelers fans, but it really didn't make a lot of sense relative to the trends in the NFL. And that would be my concern is that his size is a little bit less. It probably does make him a slot corner. I don't have a problem with that though. And I think he'll be excellent. His progress also a great indicator of being a work ethic guy. He does have a 13.9% career target share. So in the SEC, in the ACC, because he plays Florida State, they've been trying to target him fairly regularly, which is, it's not a great indication, but then his quarterback rating has gone from 109 to 75 to 46 in 3 years. So this is another guy who clearly is learning his craft, doing a good job with that. That kind of coachability, I think it can only, bear fruit in the NFL. That's how I have to take it is, whether it's coachability or ability to learn on their own, whichever it is, a guy is probably a good film guy when I see that kind of improvement year over year. The agility metrics and the obvious on-tape ability to read leverage is a great combination to have. When you see that in a player and you can look at him and he deals with the rip route pretty effectively. He doesn't get fooled by a double move automatically. He doesn't break on the receiver's first move and he has it kind of figured out. When I see that and then I also...
Breaking up is hard to do, but when it comes to your wireless carrier, you should have left a while ago. You deserve better. Xfinity Mobile. Break free from the big three.
Get unlimited with 5G included for $30 a month when you get 4 lines on Xfinity Mobile. Prices may vary and are subject to change. Reduced speeds at 20 gigabytes per line.
Winning comes in all shapes and sizes. Every day there's an opportunity for a win, just like scratchers from the Virginia Lottery. Every day grab and go, every day giftable, every day fun. It's where anticipation meets instant gratification, and they're satisfying to scratch no matter the outcome. Like the new Virginia Lottery Scratcher Colossal Cash. It's loaded with $100 to $500 prizes. Now, that's an everyday win. Drive to the nearest Virginia Lottery retail location and pick up a scratcher today. Odds of winning any prize, 1 in 3.21.
So, see, really good agility numbers from a three cone and a shuttle. Then I really like the guy in terms of what I have. I think if you can have the agility metrics and not have any idea what's going on, with your opponent. But if you have both, that's a really special thing. I think Asante Samuel is a guy who has it.
Yeah, I agree. And I think in the second round, someone who is definitely on the radar, if he makes it that far, I think he probably ends up going closer to the top end of the second round just based off of, I don't want to say name value, but I think the bloodlines matter to NFL teams. Mm-hmm. And I also think that he has, you know, the speed. He has, you know, he was coming from a big time school, and I think the production good for him. And like you said, he improved during his time at Florida State. So I think he's someone that you'd have to definitely strongly consider that second round.
If the Ravens move down in the first round, and instead of picking 27, which is something I kind of hope they do, they move down to say 50. In trying to pick up a couple of mid to late round picks, you know, be like, maybe you get a 3 and a 5 out of that kind of a move. I'm not exactly sure what it would be, but let's say it's a 3 and a 5. Would you be upset if they took Asante Samuel at number 50, say, if he was their first pick and he's at number 50?
I don't think I'd be upset. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it would be my ideal as your first overall player selected. Mm-hmm. But I think that there's definitely some value that he would bring to the team. As we discussed, there is a need at cornerback. So I think that I would prefer maybe going in another direction. But I wouldn't hate it.
So let me give you a real specific example. Let's say it's Creed Humphrey or him at number 50. Who would you take?
So I was thinking offensive line would be my preference. In that kind of scenario. And I think Humphrey, I would prefer.
Okay. I'd be okay with that too. I do think 50 is about the right range for Humphrey. And I think it would actually be a bargain to get Samuel at 50. But the need has to play some factor in your decision-making. And I think I'd agree with the judgment there. Okay. That was my number 6 guy. Or was it both of our number 6 guys? Both of our number 6 guys, right?
Yeah, I think I had him at number 5, and you had Stokes at 5. So Stokes would have been 6 for me.
You said Molden.
Oh, Molden. Yeah. So yeah, okay. Yeah. So they both were 6. Yeah.
Correct. Okay. So go ahead with your number 7 guy.
So since we already talked about Stokes, I'm going to go a few spots down because this is someone who I probably have a little bit of a crush on, a draft crush, so to speak. And that's another slot corner, and that's Aaron Robinson out of UCF. Mm-hmm. He impressed at the Senior Bowl. I was watching some of his reps and practice, and he had some nice play, I think, in the Senior Bowl. He has good size. He's also a slot corner. I should preface that. He played mostly in the slot there for UCF, and he has more size in the slot cornerback than some of the other guys we talked about. So he's closer to 6 foot. But he still ran under a 4.4. So he has the speed and the size and the ability to play in the slot. I think that's an interesting combination that you'd be adding with the Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with him. He is on my list. I've got him a little lower down. My issues, a couple things with him. First of all, I think he's more of a gambler in the slot and doesn't trust his speed enough and probably is not the great leverage reader that I would want in the slot, which that may force him to the outside. Not that that would be terrible, because he has the size, I think, to still play outside. He's not tall, but he's not really short for playing outside either. He had a low target share in 2020, but it was with 4 TDs and no interceptions and 101 passing rating. That's just not ideal, and he's playing at Central Florida, so the rest of the competition level is not all at a particularly high level, so that has to concern me some. So I know there's guys who like him. I know there are people who look at either Senior Bowl or other elements and liked that, but I have some reservations about the guy, and he just wouldn't be my top guy. I think he probably goes in the third round, but I'm not real excited about him.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. And, you know, the stats definitely would be on your side for that. I think that there's some traits there that are unique, and I'm not saying he's necessarily my 7th cornerback, but I think he's someone that has a skill set that the Ravens would utilize. But I think third round would be where I would be targeting. Like that, I won't take second, but you know, if he's there when the Ravens are picking third, I think that I would be interested.
All right. I'm going to kind of go with a little bit of a homerism here with my number. Let me make sure I have this right here. Yeah, my number seven guy, and that is Ifeatu Melifonwu of Syracuse, 6'2", 205, 448. He's got that aircraft carrier size you love for the outside. You often hear me talk about that kind of thing. He did surrender a fair amount of yards per target, almost 8.0, 7.9 in 2020. That's not good enough for a pro prospect. But you know what? What he's not doing at his size is just really weird. He has a brother, Obi, and they both have kind of the same prospects of not playing big. Ifeatu is huge at 6'2", 205. He should be pressing, using that sideline, you know, demonstrating his ability to play outside corner in the NFL. He doesn't really do it. Played in a great Syracuse secondary that has two pro prospects at safety. Trill Williams, who I really love, and Andre Sisco, who I also really love, would be great additions, either one of them, to the Ravens if they get them, or I'm going to be very excited about. But Melifonwu is a guy who really should be able to use his size more ably at the college level. I don't really think he's done it. But that said, I also look for prospects which have a big hole in their game where it shouldn't be, because that's often a correctable flaw. So I think in his case, it's a chance the Ravens coaches will get to him and fix a guy who has some flaws as a cornerback.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you have that size length combination, I think that's the thing that the Ravens really look for. The corners, that the combination of size and speed is something that really puts players on the map. And if you combine some skills with that, and I think he probably has them at least to a certain extent. I mean, there's a reason why he's not going to be considered a first round prospect. There's some deficiencies there. I think some of the maybe the short area is a little questionable, but I think there's definitely a lot of upside with a player like that.
Mm-hmm. Be very excited if he dropped somehow to the end of the third round for the Ravens to pick him. I don't think he will, but if he did, I'd be very excited by it. It would excite me probably the way Matabike did last year, in terms of being a guy that I think the Ravens got very cheap relative to his value. All right, that's my number seven guy. So we're back to your number eight, or whoever you want to talk about at this point.
Yeah, so I guess I'll go more towards a more traditional cornerback who I think has some potential, but also might slide due to some various concerns, and that's Kelvin Joseph, out of Kentucky, who has really impressive kind of physical talent, I would say. Got a good size. I think he's right under 6 foot. Ran, you know, sub 4.440. He's got good length. I think he has the raw talent to be a very good NFL cornerback. He did a transfer from LSU. I'm not sure all of the issues that were there, but that's something that I'm sure, you know, NFL teams are going to investigate, like why players tend to do that. Sometimes it's maturity. Sometimes it's, you know, exterior forces. Sometimes it's just you don't get along with the coach, things like that. But I think outside of that, when he's on the field, you know, he's a good player. I mean, he can make plays. He had, I think, 4 picks last season. And those are things that, you know, really stood out. And he just has the raw coverage ability, the fluid hips, the ability to kind of like turn and run receiver, find the ball. I think that's something that would be really beneficial in any.
Yeah, I like him too. And he's in my top. Oh, let me tell you where he is. He's number 12 on my list. So he's behind Aaron Robinson, but I still like him. I did not know the nature of his off-field issues. So the off-field issues, whatever they are, if they're some sort of domestic violence, I don't think the Ravens will take the chance. If this is, you know, this is a player who's perhaps the fastest man in the entire draft. I've seen 4.28 ascribed to him. And, you know, you have to consider a player like that. What I don't like is that a guy who has that kind of speed can get beat 4 times and even give up 30 yards per game. Those aren't numbers. You wouldn't expect numbers that high from a corner with his kind of ability. I look at his tape and I don't see a guy who reads leverage exceptionally well. Now, there's two potential sources of, there's multiple potential sources, but let me give you the two big ones that I'm gonna talk about here. If you don't read tells well, I think that's something that you can adjust at the NFL level and get better at. If it's because you don't have the processing speed to do it, then it's going to be more of a problem, because some of that, just, it's like being a boxer. If you react in 37 one-thousandths of a second as opposed to 58 one-thousandths of a second, well, that's the difference between Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali in terms of quickness in there. For a cornerback, it's the same kind of thing. And I don't really have a good sense of whether it's processing speed or reading tells. And so they can improve to a certain point until they reach that processing speed wall. So Kelvin Joseph may have it. He may not. He may have those, you know, very sharp, twitchy, you know, they call it muscle twitch, but I think it's really processing speed that it really comes down to. He may have it. He may not. I trust the Ravens to figure it out.
Yeah. And I think when you get to this point in kind of the class cornerback, there's always, you know, there's some positives and there's some traits you can look for, especially like the obvious athletic traits. Mm-hmm. But then when you put on the film, there's deficiency, and there's reasons why these players are not considered higher, because, you know, either they're lacking in their kind of upstairs, whether or not processing, like you said, or, you know, maybe there's technique issues with their feet, or maybe they're too grabby and they like gamble. You know, there's a lot of potential things that are holding players back. Some of that is coachable. Some of that can be coached out. And that's why you do take athletes in the NFL, because you can kind of have like that raw like putty or clay that you can mold into the player that you want. But sometimes you're just going to miss as well when you take gambles with players like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree. I put that in the field of, I really trust the Ravens to figure it out. They've done a great job of drafting corners in the past. They've done a good job of drafting late corners, even though 100% of them have not worked out. But to get Averett and Young as picks in the fourth round, I think I wouldn't call each of them a home run, but, you know, it's like a couple of doubles.
Yeah,
you know, that are very successful in terms of where they were. My next guy is Tyson Campbell, the other Georgia cornerback. You probably got him on your list somewhere too. He's got the size at 6'1", 193. Probably could bulk up a little bit. The good news is, since he's starting at 437, I think he's a guy who can afford to get a little bit bigger and become a little bit more of a press disruptor, a sideline disruptor. He was beaten too often for my liking in 2020, gave up 5 touchdowns. He allowed 162 yards in the game against Alabama, had a 114 passer rating against for the year. That is not good stuff. It definitely isn't. You're buying the traits and you're trying to figure out with a player down here, probably near the bottom of the third round, whether or not you want to take a gamble on him or not. If he drops in the fourth round, I think it's a no-brainer. In the third round, I think he'll probably be scooped up by some team.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. And I think it's a similar conversation that we just had with Joseph. And it's, so the physical traits are there in spades, but for some reason, he didn't put it together in college. I think he was like a very high recruited player. Well, Campbell was. And, you know, he didn't necessarily have the production that you want for somebody with the physical gifts that he has. He also got flagged for a lot of penalties. Something mm-hmm. that I noticed with him is someone whose technique might not be there. I think maybe it's kind of a panic kind of thing. You know you're getting grabby. Beat, or you know you're about to get beat, grab. In college, that's not quite the worst thing in the world, especially if you don't give up a long completion. It's more problematic in the NFL with the way the pass interference. So I think he's someone who would be better at understanding routes, understanding like leverage, like you mentioned before, and then being able to find the ball. I think that's something that he really struggled with as well. You know, he only has one career interception, and someone who has that pedigree, you think would be a little productive side of things.
Mm-hmm. All right. Who's your next guy? We're just gonna, at this point, anybody you'd like to talk about.
I think there's a guy from Michigan State, Shakur Brown. Mm-hmm. He's kind of the opposite, I would say, of some of the past couple players that you talked about. He doesn't have the athleticism. He's another 4'6", 40 guy. He doesn't have the size. He's just under 5'10". But he was a playmaker for Michigan State this past year. He had 5 interceptions. I think he had another one called back because of a penalty. I don't want to say Ed Reed because that's really high praise, but he just has like this instinct, that knack for finding the football, the knack for making plays. And he's someone who's probably going to be there 4th, 5th round. That's someone who I'm interested in, that has that kind of mental knowledge, the ability to be instinctual, know how to be in the right place and to do things when given the opportunity.
I have him on my list of evaluation here, but I didn't have him anywhere near my top 12. I think, and you probably don't either. I have him as a 6th round or later guy. It's a guy I would not mind the Ravens taking a flyer on. He's definitely not on the efficient frontier of size and speed. Let's start with that. At 5'10", 185, and he runs a 4.60, 140. You're way off on the blue on the chart somewhere. Not in a good spot. Meaning, I liked some of the ability to mirror, but I didn't think the agility metrics really matched up with that. And when I see that, then I'm concerned about, will that really translate to the next level, or will the receivers just be too damn good in terms of giving him the false signal and allowing him to match with that? Not a terrible choice. If the UDFA, absolutely love to have him. I'd be one of the first people I'd call. If they spent a 6 on him, no problem. If they spent a 4 on him, that's not something I'd want to see.
Yeah, I think for me, he's probably the 5, like the 5 range. That's probably where I would start looking at it. I think the athleticism is probably what's going to hold him back, and he might even slip further than that because of that size. And for someone who is size, you would expect a little bit more like quickness, especially in the ability testing, and it just wasn't there for him.
Right.
So that might plummet his draft stock, but just the playmaking ability, if you could get him mid round, it's the late rounds, I should say. I think that's something that's interesting.
All right. Anybody else you want to talk about, or you another player or two?
So I think there's a guy, Ohio State cornerback Sean Wade. He's someone who maybe is get him in the same range. I think maybe 5th round. He has better physical traits, I think. Got good size. He got beat a lot, though. And that's not something that you would like to see, but I think the potential with him is there. I think he has some kind of laziness at times on the field, and that's something that I wouldn't want to be known by if I was a cornerback, especially considering how NFL scouts look at these players. But I tend to see that he's not completely like involved all the time, but when he is locked in, I think he can be a good cornerback. And if some of those issues make him fall, he could potentially be a late round deal.
All right, that's a fair enough one. I did not evaluate him, so I'm not going to try and render an opinion on him right now. I'll toss in a guy I did evaluate, and that's Benjamin Sinjesty of Minnesota, a guy who I think is on a lot of people's radar just because of how unique a cat he is. 6'3", 202. A 4.55 40 is not special, but that length and size is way out there, and it's definitely on the efficient frontier, largely because there's nobody else at his height and length. So you can't help but have the best 40 time in that group if you're out there. He has excellent 3-cone and shuttle metrics. But if you look at his tape, he's definitely not a quick reader. So he doesn't have that same anticipation, that ability to read opponent leverage. I think he's a developmental prospect. I think he has a very high upside potentially as an outside corner. Could be a guy that, like Ike Taylor, like Jimmy Smith, becomes a guy who just masters the use of that sideline, doesn't allow himself to be really easily stacked, and has enough speed to get you by out there on most plays. It'll be interesting to see where teams are willing to take a risk on him. But, you know, I wouldn't have a problem with the Ravens taking him in sometime on early on day 3.
Yeah, I mean, I think like we talked about that size, that speed combo. That's something that it's pretty rare, especially if you can get it later in the draft. And if you can just coach up with some of the skills, you know, there might be some of like the other areas you can work on. And if you can get him, like you said, learn how to press at the line of scrimmage, use the sideline to your advantage. That can be something that is another player that really develop for you. I think as more of a developmental player at that point in the draft, you know, you're hoping that it's maybe not first couple years, but year three, you might come out and be someone who can be at least like a third or fourth cornerback for you.
Yeah. I mean, he'd be a special teams guy, and he'd be a cornerback that the Ravens would not need again in 2021, but they then have maybe something that's pretty special a year later. So they can afford certainly to take a late gamble on a player like that. One other thing I wanted to say about him was 32 5/8 inches on his arms. And I'll say right now, we're going to talk about the interior offensive line tomorrow night. I already talked about the offensive tackles in a previous show. There's a bunch of offensive tackles currently in this draft who would be a better chance to stick at offensive tackle if they just had his arm length. And, you know, he's 6'3", but there's a bunch of guys who are frankly, they're just not going to make it in the NFL at tackle because they're down in the 32-inch arm range. And that, you know, an extra half inch, an extra quarter of an inch even in some of these cases would have been enough that they'd have a better chance to stick at tackle.
It does seem to be a strange phenomenon, specifically in the offensive tackle class mm-hmm. of this draft, that the arm length is just
very short.
It's short. Yes. I don't know why that's the case.
Yeah. And that's some of the pure metrics guys are out there because of that. I think part of it might be, Gabe, that there are not all the small school offensive tackle prospects because nobody really knows. You know, so you don't have a Gregory Sinat from Wagner because he wouldn't have played this year. And, you know, a big guy like that who has good feet, basketball background, you know, has otherwise some left tackle or bust characteristics isn't there for the taking. But yeah, I agree. It's the size and shape positions have really suffered in this draft in general.
Yeah. So I have two more names that I wanted to talk about. And one of them is someone who was mentioned in Twitter conversation that we had, and that's Kerry Vincent Jr. of LSU. Mm-hmm. So he is another player who took off the 2020 year, which is strange because I don't think he was going to be someone projected to be like a top draft pick. But, you know, decided not to play, opt out of the season. He's on the smaller side, but he has a very good speed. Sub 4.4, he's a track star going back to high school. Mm-hmm. So the speed is definitely there. You know, he has some playmaking. He was obviously a good player on the LSU, you know, championship team. He made with Patrick Green. Mostly played in the slot, played a little bit of safety. But I think, you know, if you're looking at traits, I mean, the size is on the underside, but he has the speed. He has some playmaking ability. The one thing that I couldn't get by with him was he cannot turn around and find the ball to save his life. Mm-hmm. He always just, like, stared at the receiver. He could not, I mean, if he's facing the quarterback, he can make a play on the ball. But if he's running with the receiver, he's just going to try and run through the receiver, basically, and time it well. He's a little short with the arm, and that's something that I think could affect him. But he's more than willing to lay a big hit. As someone his size, I think, interesting and like does stick to the ground.
Right. You see him as a slot guy in the NFL.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good, but the off-ball skills that you mention are only really useful on the are more useful on the outside. He'd be a gamble. I kind of hope the Ravens could get him late, whether that means a six, whether that means even they get him as a UDFA. He probably gets drafted just because of lots of things, but not necessarily. I think we've named everybody on my list. I didn't talk about Ambry Thomas, but we don't need to. He's number 12 on my list. Do you have another guy you want to talk about?
One more guy, and this is probably, you know, seventh round pick, maybe undrafted free agent. His name is Avery Williams. Played at Boise State, and he was a starting cornerback for them, but he's very undersized. Although he has decent speed, 4.4 speed, he's only 5'8", so that's limited in terms of his cornerback. But he is a dynamic special player. Not just as a returner, but on kick block, amazing stuff. I'd recommend just looking up clips if you're interested in special teams. I think he's someone who can come in and be a special team star for pretty much any team that's interested in or needs that, both in coverage and in like the kick block. He has the ability to get after the kicker off the edge. It's really impressive.
That is a little unusual. So he probably has really good snap mechanics understanding. He's probably watching the center on those plays like Ed Reed used to on punt blocks. I would put a value on that. I've been talking on recent shows about how I think the value of kick coverage has been reduced in the NFL because of the way the game is played now. And so I don't think you can just do that. So if this guy is a potential return guy, maybe that would be interesting. If this guy is a guy who can at least contribute on defense, I think that's kind of the minimum you'd have to get out of him. I don't think you can get by with not playing any defense and just being a specialist.
Yeah, I think he could be competitive in the slot. I mean, the size limitations are there, but he has the speed to hold up there, I think. So, you know, there was some talk about him, I think, actually maybe looking at being a running back in the NFL. Because he was a running back in high school. I think he might have even done some snaps in college running back. But, you know, he has the speed for it. He has the quickness, I think. He's kind of the same size as like a Justice Hill, maybe a little lighter. But, you know, there's different things you could potentially do with a player like that. And if you have a draft pick at the end of the draft, and maybe you didn't take a cornerback, maybe you need to help out your special teams room, I think he's someone that take a look at.
All right. Outstanding stuff, Gabe. Let's tell folks where they can find your stuff again.
Yeah. So, you can find me on Twitter at Gabe Berkey. You know, been a bit of a quiet time, even though draft season, I haven't had quite the opportunity to dig in as much as I normally do. But it's, I think as we get closer to the draft, I'll probably start tweeting a little bit more fervently about some of the players that are catching my eye. I'm co-hosting the Situation Room with Jordan Coe. We have just recorded the offensive side. I think we're going to try to record something about the defensive side next week. So we'll have those coming up as we get closer to the draft. And then I think once the draft comes around, we're going to try to have something kind of summarizing how we feel about the draft as well. So look forward to talking about that. And I'm sure that, you know, as we get closer to the real offseason and the regular NFL, there'll be a lot more coming out.
Okay. Raven Situation Room, a post on filmstudybaltimore.com. Make sure you give that show a shot. Add it to your downloads, and you will not be disappointed. This is two very smart guys talking about football, and they're very knowledgeable, and they get into it in a interesting and engaging way, and I'd highly recommend it. For other folks, we got a lot of draft content out there. I'd encourage people to go back and listen to the Brad Spielberger podcast, which came out on Friday, and was talking to Brad about, he works for PFF, about the Fitzgerald Spielberger method of draft valuation, which creates a much flatter valuation of draft picks. You don't have to completely agree with it in order to understand that he has a different perspective on it, and a different set of rules for evaluating that, which is very interesting. I think he does a good job of articulating that, getting into the methodology in a way, and then talking about teams like the Ravens and some interesting things they've done with the relative valuation of age, cap, and war. As calculated by PFF standards. So an interesting one to do. Gabe, thanks again for joining us tonight for this one.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
We'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
When your entire life is online, you need more than just speed from your internet. Xfinity gives you reliable in-home Wi-Fi coverage, plus protection from Wi-Fi network threats. Check out our amazing offers on Xfinity Internet. You'll get fast speed and Wi-Fi coverage you can count on. Plus, get advanced security free with the XFi Gateway, so you can keep the connected devices in your home protected from network threats. Just log in and activate through the Xfinity app. Go online, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today to learn more. Restrictions apply.
Winning comes in all shapes and sizes. Every day there's an opportunity for a win, just like scratchers from the Virginia Lottery. Every day grab and go, every day giftable, every day fun. It's where anticipation meets instant gratification. And they're satisfying to scratch, no matter the outcome. Like the new Virginia Lottery scratcher Colossal Cash. It's loaded with $100 to $500 prizes. Now, that's an everyday win. Drive to the nearest Virginia Lottery retail location and pick up a scratcher today. Odds of winning any prize, 1 in 3.21.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.